The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Welcome to the AC Podcast, everyone. My name's Terry.
This is Andy.
We have a special guest today that I just met, Mike, but I'll let Andy introduce you.
Yeah, actually, Mike is an airplane pilot. I think you fly for Air Canada. Is that right, Mike?
It is.
And that you run Apologetics Ministry over in Ontario. We're going to talk more about that. But to start, I think it would only be fitting is if you kicked off this podcast maybe with one of your PA announcements as you're starting the flight. What would that sound like, Mike?
Well, that would typically sound like... Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the captain, myself, my partner in crime, whoever that might be on a particular day, welcome to our flight to Vancouver. We should be pushing back here in about 15 minutes or so, anticipating an unscheduled departure. Generally airborne, anticipating good flying conditions, maybe a couple small bumps here and there, but nothing too serious. Latest weather we have for Vancouver, well, it's a typical rainy day.
Hey, it's gorgeous today.
It's gorgeous today. So that would be, you know, with some small variety, my typical announcement, and then I would do it in French.
Nice. Which you speak fluently.
Yes. Yeah, our home language is actually French, so.
Unbelievable. It is going to be a bumpy ride, though, because Steve Kim is not here. He's on vacation, and so Terry's behind the controls. Which concerns me.
There's a lot of lights flashing.
I know. Terry, is this podcast recording?
It looks like it's recording. There's some ups and downs.
Slide your thing this way. It looks like it's
recording. Why isn't it going along?
No, it is.
Okay,
it is. We are in air. We're flying.
Woo!
Woo! We can do it without Steve.
Hands up.
Yeah. Mike, how long have you been flying for?
I've been flying professionally since about 86.
Well, and now you started in the military, correct?
Correct. I went to military university or the Royal Military College in Kingston, Ontario, then did flight training with the military, then flew the Aurora, which is an anti-submarine airplane. We have a base on the West Coast here in Comox, and we have one on the East Coast as well in Greenwood, Nova Scotia. So I was posted there for about six years, give or take, after university.
So an anti-submarine airplane you flew?
Correct.
Wow. Is it a big plane?
It would be about the size of a small 737, so a wingspan of about 110 feet and a length of about 110 feet, four propeller-driven engines, and
what do you fly?
That'd be the other way around. Four, anyway.
What do you fly now?
I fly a Boeing 767 now.
So accumulative hours right now, how many would you have after doing 86?
I don't
know. Don't say 86.
I would say it's probably in excess of 14,000, 15,000. I don't even count.
Wow. Okay.
So you've been doing this a long time.
A couple of years.
Any moments where you got nervous in the air?
Well, when we're talking to friends and family and things aren't being recorded, but no, I have to tell people that sometimes we make our living 1 minute a year, and hopefully the pastors never know what minute that is. So, you know, there are often things related to weather, related to, you know, engine issues or aircraft issues that, you know, we don't necessarily share, but stuff happens. But generally today, I mean, air travel is just
Have you ever
safe.
Seen a bird fly by the airplane?
I've hit them.
You have hit a bird?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. It's good having you on the show. This is the first time.
Well, it's nice to be out here and seeing you guys once again. I think the last time I was out here in Abbotsford was about 4 years ago, and we talked about starting up a conference in Barrie and partnering. So, yeah, it's been great to get back.
And speaking of that, we've now had three Apologetics Canada conferences in Barrie, Ontario.
Correct. And through those conferences, well over 1,000 people have heard about apologetics, have been equipped, and are actively sharing their faith. So it's been great.
I think that this is fantastic for our listeners to know. You know, Mike is a full-time pilot, but yet he has a passion and a heart for apologetics. And basically, Mike, you went to your church and just said, hey, guys, I would love to host an Apologetics Canada conference here in our church. And what is that how it kind of went down?
Pretty well exactly that. I had been in Charlotte, North Carolina to the National Apologetics Conference there at Southern Evangelical Seminary. And when I got home, I just started looking around and doing some searches. And is there an event similar being held in Ontario. And there were other events, but nothing of the same scope, the same format. So I approached exactly that, my lead pastor, Rick Buck, and I asked him, you know, what do you think? And luckily, he has a demon with an emphasis on apologetics. So he gets it. And it was like...
He was behind you.
Oh, 100%. Without his support, it could never have happened. And because of his support, then, you know, the staff of the church, you know, have been just phenomenal.
It's a lovely church. The staff, it was so cool to see them behind you. The church is called Emmanuel.
Correct. Emmanuel Berry.
Emmanuel Berry. And they did a fantastic job with the conference. I had the privilege of being out there for two of them. I wasn't out there for this one, but how did it go? How did it go this year?
We thought it went quite well. We had Andy Bannister there as our keynote speaker, and as well, Tim Burnett did a plenary session. And for those who don't know who Tim Burnett is, he's now speaks for Standard Reason, which is Greg Kochel's ministry. So he's in
the Canadian branch.
Correct. He is living in Newmarket, but he is traveling all over North America. He is doing some phenomenal work. So we really try
check
to encourage
out.
Yes. And for anyone, just str.org and just, you know, check out Tim. He's phenomenal. And then of course, Andy.
Another up and coming guy is Wesley Huff.
Correct. Wesley is now doing some work with Power to Change. So he's just been hired on as one of their new apologists doing some work in the Toronto area. So that's Wesley great. Was just about to start his doctorate in textual criticism. So I think, I'm not sure if he's continuing that process or not, but that's his interest. So he has a phenomenal witness story. Wow. If you ever have a chance to talk to Wesley, he's got quite a story about, you know, some miracles that he's seen in his own life, healing wise. But now he's doing, again, some work for Power to Change, and his strength is definitely issues of Islam and biblical issues. So, and he's a great dynamic speaker and a young guy, and he's doing some good work.
Another great ministry out there in Ontario is Nick Hill works for Power to Change, and they've actually started up a complete branch of apologetics ministry out there, doing some great work through Power to Change. That's another organization to look into, and guys that are doing wonderful work to check out. But Mike, we're so thankful for you, man, and the amazing work that you've been doing out in Barrie. And I just pray that it becomes an encouragement to other people that they can participate in the Great Commission. We've all been called into this Great Commission, and that we can do that no matter what, you know, where we are in life.
Absolutely. And I think one thing, and I didn't realize this until I started organizing the conference, there are more resources available than some people might think. And you may not have to go as far as you think to bring in, you know, if there's a church out there who's looking somebody for a men's breakfast or a women's breakfast or a Saturday event, just something small key. There are, you know, in the Ontario area, there's a lot more resources than I'd ever thought existed. And even, you know, if we look out east, you know, in the Halifax area, there are people there as well. So, and there's, you know, we're trying to maybe get something going in the Montreal area as well. There's a really dynamic church environment, surprisingly so, in the Montreal area.
Yeah.
So there's, no matter where you live in the country almost now, if you're looking to get some apologetics into your church, apologetics teaching, you don't have to look that far.
Well, in fact, that's one of the new things that you've been wanting to do is to help resource churches. Tell us about that.
Well, we are, you know, I'm blessed to belong, to be a member at Emmanuel Berry, and that church really wants to become a regional resource for different things, and one of them is apologetics. So they've really given me a license to go out and in conjunction with Apologetics Canada, to go out and become a resource, a free resource for other churches and to do things. So that'll be the next kind of step in our ministry. I've been lucky enough to get involved with three other gentlemen at the church who really have a heart for apologetics and have been doing a lot of work on their own time just to learn about it. And we're doing some teaching at Emmanuel now apart from the conference. And we're looking to see if anyone else is looking for teaching, and we're willing to do some traveling to help out. So
yeah, so contact us and we'll get you more information about the ministry that Mike's doing out there in Ontario. It's going to be great, wonderful opportunity to be resourced in the church for doing this kind of ministry. One of the things I was looking forward to having you on the show with, though, is just to talk about more about who you are and how you came to faith. You, in fact, would have identified as an atheist. Is that true in the past?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that. Like, how did you see the world? How long ago was this as well?
Well, I'll give you the story. You know, my father still goes to the United Church, and he would bring me to church. And then at about the age of 12, I was able to distance myself from that and stop going. And I was, from many ways, a content atheist. Joined the military in my late teens and was in the military until my 30s. And just,
Would you say you were an atheist, even as a teenager?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would have suggested that this was all, and I still tip, I thought this was all bunk. I just thought it was just silliness, pie in the sky stuff. So, and that's the kind of the way I looked at it. And then we moved to Ontario in 99. And
who's we?
So
you went to the military, and did you meet your wife in the military?
Correct. Shirley, my wife, is a computer analyst by trade. She worked on the mission systems of the airplane that I flew. So we had met in Greenwood, got married, and then because of my work, we eventually moved up to the Ontario area in 1999. And where we moved, little unknown to us.
Sorry to interrupt you here.
No, that's by all means.
Was your wife a Christian at this point?
Shirley was born in the Catholic faith. She was definitely a Catholic believer. However, her faith interaction with churches and stuff would vary. And we had, at that time, a young family. So she would, she found it difficult sometimes to find a place to worship. But she wasn't what I would consider overly active at that point.
Okay. So press and play again with
absolutely
where you were moving to.
So we moved up to a place called Horseshoe Valley. So it's just north of Barrie, Ontario. So about an hour north of Toronto. And it's a beautiful area with golf courses and ski hills and the like. And in this little community was a little child care preschool run by Sharon Kelsall. And then Sharon, who we later found out, is just an unbelievable lady and a strong believer. Her and her husband are just pillars of faith. But she uses, and it's called Treasure Kids, so she would teach overtly biblical things in her preschool, but she also had a wives prayer group, and she invited Shirley. And
were your kids in the children?
One of them was oldest one was.
Okay.
So then they, Shirley had started attending this prayer group and things like that, and her eyes were opened about the fervent belief that Sharon and these other ladies had, the way they prayed, the way they studied scripture. Her eyes were open, and so through that she was essentially born again. And then,
what did you think about that?
Oh, I was not happy.
Why were you happy about that?
Well, she was, one, bugging me about it all the time. But then, of course, she'd go to church and she'd want to tithe or spend, put money in collection. And I saw that as coming directly out of my pocket because I was the sole breadwinner. So she would, she was sometimes almost a little sneaky. She would, there's a great Christian radio station in Barrie, so she would leave it on the car knowing that I'd be in the car, get in the car next, and I'd jump in the car, and I would just immediately just turn it off with a vengeance, and I just, So the whole thing, I was quite, and...
So it's not like you were passively atheist, you were...
No, I was not passive. Yeah. And, Sharon Kelsall's husband, John, he would invite me to, he invited me to a men's breakfast, and Henderson, who scored the ex-hockey player, Paul Henderson.
Paul Henderson, yeah.
Was a guest speaker, and I remember, we came out, and John and he gave his testimony and things like that, and John kind of asked me, so, what would you feel? I said, what do you mean? I mean, nothing. You're like, no. So I remember the look on John's face of, so I wanted nothing to do with it.
So they got you out to a men's breakfast to hear a hockey guy speak, but...
Nothing. The Holy Spirit at that point, or I was just, kind of blah, la 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 to the Holy Spirit. So eventually, then sometime later.
Now your wife, during this whole time, your wife's praying for you fervently.
Well, this whole ladies group was praying for me fervently. I later came to find out. So then I was heading down to Nashville for something. And then Shirley was supposed to come with us. But however, one of our youngest daughter got sick, so Shirley couldn't come. So I was down in Nashville and I thought to myself, I can almost still recall it vividly, you know, thinking to myself, okay, I've got to buy her something. So I saw this big Christian bookstore and I said, oh, there's got to be something in there that'll make her happy. So, cause that would have been the intent. There would have been no real love intent. There would have been just a, you know, kind of a kitchen pass intent. So, so I would have, when I don't remember anything about where the book was or, but there must've been some kind of display. Because I went into the store and I came out with Lee Strobel's Case for a Creator, and I didn't think twice about it. And it, what's funny though, you know, upon reflection and even discussing this with Shirley, is that I still don't know if she's ever read that book because at the time it wasn't something that she would typically read.
I thought you were going to say you came out with the book thinking.
Easy now. You got that one later.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Right.
That was down the road.
I have a signed copy though.
Okay.
So on the flight home from Nashville, I didn't have anything else to do, and so I started reading the book, and it absolutely changed my life.
Wow.
So it was just that I had never, ever seen a cogent, you know, answer or a cogent defense of the Christian faith before. Didn't even know it existed. So to
there were a lot of us that had no idea it existed. Yeah, myself as well. Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. I had just gone through a BA in biblical studies when that book came out. I got a hold of it, read it, and it impacted my life because here I was a student, you know, a Christian. I'd come to faith to Christ, decided I'm going to go to college, you know, Bible school. I want to serve the Lord. And I got out with 4 years and had no idea that there was an argument, a persuasive argument made for the faith.
Absolutely. And that at the conferences we run, that's probably the thing that we hear the most is, wow. Didn't know this existed, never heard of it before, you know, so.
Which is really sad because you know, as well as I do, when you read history though, you know, Christians in the past were very intelligent and gave great answers for the hope that they had in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at some of the early apostolic fathers, I mean, their books were called, you know, they were, as a group, they were called the apologists against heresies. I mean, we know that, yes, they stood firm and they had cogent reasons. They used reason to defend the faith. I mean, Paul does in Acts 17, but you know, it was just, it was something that, you know, I'd never seen before. So I started reading this and you know, the Holy Spirit just hit me over the head with a hammer. And
what did you find the most persuasive?
Fine tuning argument. Absolutely. Because my bachelor's degree is in science, so I understand probability theory and, you know, just looking at the layers and what's involved in the fine-tuning argument, then, you know, as I study it more, it becomes even, to me, it's even more powerful. But that was certainly one of the key.
Mike, something I hear all the time, I'm curious how you'd respond to this. I hear people tell me that apologetics, that people don't need apologetics, that apologetics doesn't work. You don't need, he's already laughing. You don't need a reason for faith. You just need faith, Mike.
Well, I think recently, who did I hear? And it was somebody that we all know, but it was the idea of, it was actually it was Andy Stanley in one of his podcasts. And he mentioned when people ask fact-based questions, they need fact-based answers. You cannot answer a fact-based question with a faith-based response. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Holy Spirit, you know, he grabs people in different ways. So we have to have different tools in our toolbox as evangelists to reach people. And it's, to me, it's quite obvious that in this era, the Holy Spirit is really using apologetics to reach a fantastic number of people. And often the people sometimes when people are reached by apologetics, they seem to be remain energized for quite some time, you know, for the work of the Lord.
Well, that was definitely the case with you.
Absolutely.
In fact, to the point where you started annoying your wife. Tell us about that. How did it happen when you came to faith and came to the point where your faith actually began to annoy your wife?
I'm going to make sure she doesn't listen to this. But, well, I think just the time commitment, because after I came to faith and then started really becoming serious about it, then I'm now pursuing, I almost finished a master's degree in apologetics, started, you know, organizing conferences. And I mean, as a group, Apologetics Canada here in Abbotsford knows what it takes to organize a conference. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. So there were a lot of hours, you know, between my day job. So I'm gone a lot. Then when I'm home, you obviously have the things that we have to do at home in terms of parenting, house maintenance. But then I was doing an MA and organizing a conference. So she definitely paid a price for that. There's no two ways about it. You know, she's no doubt looking forward for me to finally finish my MA so I can have a little more time back in a family environment. So
I love it though that God answered her prayers. Oh. Yeah. and boy, did he, when you came to faith, man, you can't, you know, it's interesting, right? When you see that there is good reason for the hope that you, that for hope in Jesus Christ, you want to share that hope with people.
Absolutely. But it also comes to the issue of, with apologetics, it just, it convinced me that Christianity was true. And if Christianity was true, then there were certain implications of it being true. And one of them is, then I have a job to reach out as an evangelist, to reach out to people. I have a, you know, then I'm required, you know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that Christianity requires of it. If it's true, it's not like I can throw part of the Bible away. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Bible is the inherent word of God, then all of it is, not just part of it. So it, that was the other part of that, was the implications of it being absolutely true. So, and you know, that's where it's kind of in many ways led me down to where I am now, which, and I'm very thankful for it. I mean, it changed my life in great ways, and I'm thankful to the Lord every day. So
that's great, man. We're so thankful to have you on our team helping continue the work of evangelism in Ontario. And man, just want to encourage people in a couple ways. One is keep praying for those people in your life.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know, because I don't think Shirley would have thought, you know, can God get through to Mike?
I'm almost certain that there were many days that she would have been very discouraged.
how did that come out? Where, how did you tell her? Like, how was it direct? Like, was a surprise?
No, I don't think it was wasn't a discreet event in that way. I think the most discreet event that I can recall was at a church service with Kerry Newhoff, who is a well-known pastor in the Barrie area. He does a lot of speaking on the Orange Tour in the U.S., and he's now the pastor of Connexus Community Church. But he was, I don't remember what the sermon was about, but, you know, at the end of this sermon, you know, he said, if, you know, everyone bow your heads, and if you want to receive Christ today, you know, raise your head up. And that was the day that, you know, okay, it's time. And then, and so I don't remember a big discussion afterwards with her. I think she was just so relieved that she wasn't going to say anything, that she didn't want to jinx it.
But we'd encourage you, you know, be praying for people. God can do, can and will do work in people's lives. But more than that, I think one of the things you were saying there is so important, Mike. We have different tools in the evangelistic tool belt because, you know, different things are going to impact people in different ways. For me, for you, apologetics was really influential, not just to our coming to faith, but staying in faith and growing in our faith. And that that this is an important tool, especially, wouldn't you agree, just especially in the time that we live right now, in the culture that you know, this, in many ways, post-Christian culture, the importance of apologetics?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't doubt that for a second. And it's interesting to get into conversations with non-believers, because it seems like, if anything, atheists are losing reason. Like, and I'll use an example as of this Jesus mither kind of group that's kind of sprouting on the internet that believes that Jesus
was... The mythicists?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that none of those people would ever apply the same level of skepticism and lack of reason in other parts of their lives. They just couldn't. So, you know, you see things like that and, you know, and how much attention it's getting. And then you kind of wonder, okay, what's the underlying reason here? But you're right in terms of, you know, apologetics is necessary for those groups. And now we see it in, you know, Hemorrhaging Faith, the study that was done by the Barna Group. The number of young adults that are leaving the faith is just, you know, almost off the charts. And it's because of unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. So, and it goes back to, you know, that Andy Stanley quote, we're as a church, we're used to giving faith-based answers to fact-based questions. So we really have to take a look at, one is making sure that we have an open place for young people to ask their questions. That's one thing we've really tried to concentrate on at our conferences, particularly youth breakout and have lunch with the speakers and things like that for our youth.
And you guys do such a good job with that. Just for those that are listening, one of the things that Mike has done is they'll have a lunch where he makes a speaker or two available to the high schoolers that are there, to the youth.
Absolutely. Actually, we make almost all the speakers available. I actually ask each individual speaker to come in. We have, you know, provide them with lunch and then, you know, take a seat at a table with some of the students, you know, purposely try to strike up conversations, try to see what they're thinking. But the other way we actually, a partnership with a local Christian high school is that because we always have the speakers in for Friday night, we generally try to bring them in a little bit early and have them speak at the Christian high school.
Wasn't that powerful when Jim and I came?
Absolutely.
And yeah, we actually didn't just have one high school. We had a couple high schools, different high schools came to that one high school. If that's making any sense. Yes. I believe they bust some people in. Is that right?
So what, in that case, what it was, that was Timothy Christian School. So in that room, there would have been the 6, 7, 8 graders of Timothy Christian School. And then the group, almost the entire group from Unity Christian High School, it were in the gym for that particular day. So that's one of the things we do, again, just so that, you know, young people can see that we have answers. Yeah. You know, you may have never heard them before, but Christianity has some unbelievably smart people that have been thinking about these things for centuries, and we have good answers.
And that, by the way, was so good. They're in the high school, like you're saying, talking with them about different questions, doing Q&A, and then we even broke off into smaller classrooms and talked with the students. And that reminds me, Terry, we actually were contacted by a principal recently that said, hey, how about we bring the Apologetics Canada Conference into a high school?
Yeah, we're working on that right now, and he's really interested. So that's exciting. That is very exciting within our own town to do that.
Yeah, and kind of even brought the idea to our attention that we can, from all the conferences that we've done in Ontario and British Columbia and stuff that we've been a part of, that we can provide that the video and whatnot to the schools. And their idea is this. Maybe this will inspire some listeners. The principal's idea was this. What if we took those and made different breakout sessions, if you will, in different classrooms throughout the high school where students could come, listen to a talk that was given at one of the conferences, and then then do a time of Q&A with a teacher or somebody there that could facilitate some Q&A in that classroom?
Well, my hat goes off to that principal because there weren't, you know, even within the Christian schooling community, there aren't a lot that realize the importance of apologetics. And maybe rightly some of them even haven't even heard of apologetics because it hasn't been a central part of the church. So, I mean, that's just so encouraging to hear. And, you know, that's one of the avenues that we'll be looking, you know, trying to do some things with. And I know in Newmarket, just north of Toronto, the church that Tim Barnett attends, Cedarview Community, I believe. So they have a Christian school in that church, and they're getting...
Is that the one that I went and saw when I was there in Ontario?
Yes, and Lee Strobel will be speaking there next year.
Oh, fantastic.
So they're, you know, they're also doing things. So, and that's the great thing that I'm seeing now in Ontario is you know, there are a whole bunch of little hubs of apologetic activities starting, and it's very encouraging. So there's hope for the Christian church or the Canadian church yet.
Good. Well, we'll finish there. Thanks so much, Mike, for coming out. Appreciate your testimony and your words of encouragement for apologetics. Thank you for joining us today, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we will come back next week with more interesting topics and stuff to think about.